Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Today's focus is God's presence among us, that our Lord is with us right here, right now. That the Holy Spirit dwells within you every single day of your life, your ever-ready help and support. Even though you don't see our God physically before your eyes, nonetheless, you know that He is truly with us. This is why God gave us His law. Why, to use the language of Isaiah 51:16, He put His word in our mouths. Why? So that we would know He is in our midst, present among us. Always. So that you could be like the woman in Matthew 9, who knew that there was one among the people who could heal her through a simple, unassuming, plain, and sacramental touch. One who could dry up her flow of blood because He had dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, as we heard in Isaiah 51:10. The one who ultimately was sent into our midst to deliver us, you, her, all of us, from the domain of darkness, and whose crucifixion transferred us to His kingdom, Jesus, God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, as Colossians 1:13 and 14 says. Tells us. And Jesus did. And He said to her, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." Our sermon text this morning is that text, Matthew 9:20-22. The hemorrhaging woman appears to have known why God gave His people His law. The question is, do you? Know the value of the law, why we have the law. Is it so that we would know what we can and cannot do? Well, sure, of course, it does tell us what we ought not do. But if that is all we see the law as, we have a depleted understanding of it. For it is God's good and holy word. That is not, just as a simple rule book, is not how the bleeding woman saw God's law, even though for the 12 years she was discharging blood, living by the law, made her life hard because she kept the law. Its rules had daily consequences for her as one who was to be saw as contagious in her uncleanness. When we acknowledge that we're sinners, we're not simply recognizing God's rule book, what we can and cannot do. That, as I said, is a depleted understanding. When we acknowledge God's law, we acknowledge that sin has us living at odds with reality itself. Let me say that one more time, because that's the deep understanding of the law. Sin has us living at odds with reality itself. God gave us His law so that we would know He's among us. For His law is His word. This is why He put His word into our mouths and upon our hearts. So that you would know that your God loves you. That we are His priests, His holy ones. Made so by the great law keeper, Jesus Christ. Made so upon His cross, through our baptisms. God gave us His law so that you would know the truth. So despite being sinners in a sinful world, we would know that God is real and really among us. That He is present with you every day. Even though you can't physically see Him. What does our gospel pericope say that the suffering woman did This is fascinating, so buckle up. We're going to go for a theological ride. She came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I touch his garment, I will be made well. Matthew 9, 20 and 21. The fringe of Jesus' garment communicated something in particular to her. But I'll come back to that at the end of the sermon. You have to wait. First, let's get in touch with the context of her situation. The fringe of Jesus' garment is her target, but what is her situation? Why doesn't she kneel before the Lord like the ruler did in the very previous sentence? Why does she come up behind Jesus? Is it simply because she was slow getting to where he was at and now he's got up and he's on the move and he's ahead of her? Maybe. That's one way to look at it. But perhaps there's more to it than just timing. Exodus 33, 18 to 20 comes to mind when you think of someone being behind God and not before God. Speaking to God, Moses said, please show me your glory. Show it to me. I want to see your glory. This woman, too, was desperate to see God's glory in her own life, a glory that would heal her. And God said to Moses, I will make all my goodness, all of it, pass before you. And I will proclaim before you my name, Yahweh, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face. For man shall not see me and live. The holiness of God, unfiltered, untabernacled, untented, uncovered, unmasked. The glory of God is too much for us in our sin, in our uncleanness. Anybody ever seen Indiana Jones? The first one, right? What happens to the Nazis when they look inside the Ark of the Covenant? Melts him. This is so true. It's a good representation of what happens. You cannot look at God's perfection in your imperfect state and survive. And he knows that. It's exactly the same reason why he removed Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, because they were in sin. If they were to eat of the tree of life in sin, that would be bad for them. God is protecting us. It's why I don't give a 5-year-old the keys to my car. It's not because I'm a killjoy dad, but because I want to keep my 5-year-old alive until she's 16. Or in the case of my daughter, 17 or 18 or 20, whenever she gets her license. I don't know. She's already past 16. She's not driving yet. That's weird to me. Pray, thanks be to God for all of our sakes. The holiness of God is too much for us to take in our unclean state. Now, certainly, the woman could have looked at Jesus' face, just as Jairus, the ruler, did in the sentence before. For in Christ, God humbled himself and made himself visible to all sinners so we could look upon him face to face, so that he was accessible to all of us. But this woman knew the law very well. She had great faith in Jesus, great respect and reverence for Jesus. And having lived with her discharge for 12 years, she was well aware and that according to God's law, which was good and holy, she was unclean. She knew that. She knew she was impure. And so she didn't presume that she could stand before God when Moses couldn't, but was confident because of Exodus 33, she didn't have to. She was confident. I don't need to be in front of God. I'm good with being behind him. Being behind him, where she could touch the fringe of his garment, was enough. And she knew it. Just like the woman who's willing and able and knows all she needs is the crumbs off the table. She doesn't need the full meal. Just give me the crumbs, Lord. She was confident that her Lord and Savior would be gracious to whom he would be gracious and show mercy on whom he would show mercy, just as he had told Moses. and that she herself would receive his grace and his mercy. For she knew her God was in the midst of the people. She knew well what God says in Leviticus 15, 25 to 33. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her menstrual impurity, all the days of the discharge, she shall continue in uncleanness. Every bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge, shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And everything on which she sits shall be unclean, as in the uncleanness of her menstrual impurity. And whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for her unclean discharge. Thus you shall keep the people of Israel separate from the uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness by defiling my tabernacle that is in their midst. John 1 tells us that Jesus' incarnation is God tabernacling in our midst, dwelling with us. He is the priest of all priests who came to atone for this woman, who came to atone for you, to wash all things unclean and make them clean. Make her well. Make you well. He came to make atonement for you, so that you, like this woman, would not die in the state of your sin. God established his law out of love for his people, protecting them from the spread of contagion, from death. But while quarantining the unclean was a blessing to the healthy community, it was a heavy burden for the individual suffering with the discharge. No one likes being the quarantined. There are many of these quarantining laws in the Old Testament. Leprosy is probably the most common one. When individuals were unclean, they were a danger to the healthy, and so they were understandably isolated from the rest of the community. As one suffering from a 12-year flow of blood, the woman knew God's law well. She knew touching someone or something would spread her uncleanness, but she was desperate to be healed, to be restored to the life of the community. No physician had been able to cure her. But, as I just said, she knew God's law well. And not only the law that applied most directly to her and her situation during these past 12 years, but all of what God had to say. She knew the word of God in Isaiah 51, 11, and 12 that we heard today. And the ransomed of Yahweh, the Lord, shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing, such as she was experiencing, shall flee away. The Lord says, I am he who comforts you. The law of God didn't drive this woman away from her Lord. It drew her close to him. His law for us living in 2021, if we got a rule that said for 12 years, this is going to happen to you because of the law, we'd say, I don't want to live under that law. See you later. That's how we operate. Not this woman. She said, okay, Lord, your will, not mine, be done. This really stinks. I don't want to live like this, and so I'm going to see every doctor I possibly can. I'm going to try to fix this so I can be back in the community again. But she is still going to believe in the Lord. She doesn't take her ball and go home. She's not upset about who God is and her relationship to him. She doesn't like her situation, but she still has faith. She most certainly knew Numbers 15, 37 to 39. Yahweh, the Lord, said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout all their generations, and to put a cord of blue on the tassel of each corner. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of Yahweh, the Lord, and to do them. And so now we've come back to the woman's target, the fringe of Jesus' garment. You see, this is why the woman wanted to touch it. She didn't want to touch Jesus. We misread this when we think, oh, she would like to just put a full-on palm on Jesus' back, but she's okay with just the fringe. No, she didn't want to touch him at all. That would be presumptuous. She wanted to touch the representation of the Word of God, which, irony of all ironies, is the man Jesus. But she looks at the cord, the blue tasseled cord, and she says, I want to touch that. That is the promise of my God, that he has not forsaken me. As the perfect law-abiding Jew, Jesus wore what is called the Shemla, this tasseled garment. It was a reminder of God's law in his and among his people. It was a reminder that God was present with them, that he hadn't abandoned them. Even the worst of them, those suffering the most, he was still with them. He was their God, their ever-ready comfort and support in times of need. It was this reminder that encouraged this woman's faith in her heavenly Father. And the Lord says to her, take heart, daughter. All she had to do was touch the physical display of God's word, and she would be healed. And her faith was not in vain, was it? She believed that God was gracious and merciful, as he told Moses he was, and that his law wasn't a burden, but good and holy. For a reason, he had put it in place. It was the very presence of God with her as she looked upon that fringe of the garment going by. And as she touched it, she was healed. Jesus, being the incarnate display of God's word, turned and said to her, take heart, daughter. Your faith in God's word has made you well. And instantly upon that speaking, the woman was made well. Now on this side of the cross, living in the New Testament era, right? Not the Old Testament era. We don't have blue colored tassels to remind us of God's word, to remind us of his presence. What do we have? This isn't rhetorical. Communion. What else? Baptism. You guys are just pointing. I don't know what these...
The cross.
Baptism. Yes. Matthew's on fire with the sacraments. You guys are just pointing.
The cross.
Yes. Each other. The body of Christ. Right? When I look at a member of the body of Christ, I am reminded that the Lord is with us, that we are members individually of that body. And we have the word proclaimed to us. We hear the forgiveness of sins. We have the physical touch, just like the woman experienced in baptism. We receive something so much greater than a tassel color on a garment. We receive the word of God in our midst and in our individual bodies in communion, as Matthew said. The body and blood of Jesus is the New Testament, greater fulfillment of all those Old Testament laws that people had to do to remember that God was with them. God is with you. Put your faith, your trust in God's word. Have faith in Jesus Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Know your sins are forgiven. And take heart. You have been healed. Your faith has made you well. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.